4 Romeo Mike, Mike, mobile and monitoring. 4 RMM, mobile monitoring in Malden, preparing to hang a right on 276. RMM mobile requesting information, any station listening on where the cheapest gas in or around the Greenville area might be.
Requesting information, this is David, KF4NXY, on what you need.
David, KO4NXY, this is Kurt, KO4RMM. Just curious, I know it's expensive everywhere, but I was just kind of wondering, where's the cheapest gas you've been able to identify?
Little station off 25 in Ware Place going into Pelzer, on the right. Can't think of the exact name of it, but it's usually a few cents cheaper than what it is up and down 25.
Very much, David. Thank you, sir.
Well, you have a good afternoon. It's a real nice day out there, and enjoy the afternoon. KF4NXY, I'll be clear on your final.
KXY, really appreciate your input. Look forward to talking to you again soon. I'm pulling up to a pump right now. Thank you very much. And you said your name was David?
My name's David, and the call sign is Kilo Foxtrot 4, November, X-ray Yankee.
Trot 4, November, X-ray Yankee. May I inquire as to your QSY?
I'm not sure what that Q code means.
My fault. I think I meant QTY.
Neither. Are you asking my location?
I'm embarrassed now, but yes, that's exactly what I'm asking.
I'm in Southern Greenville County. Down Highway 25, there's the county landfills down this way, Twin Chimneys. I'm not too far from it, in a little area they call Possum Kingdom.
Understood, Dave. Kilo Foxtrot 4. Help me out with that call sign again, please, sir. Godspeed, wish you a good day. I'm clear on your final.
Okay, and I'm sure you said what your name was, but I got some timer, so what was your name again?
Kilo Uniform Romeo Tango.
I think we've got a couple of Kurts that come in here and talk from time to time, but I'll be listening for you, and I'll holler at you again. KF4NXY.
Copy that, and I am 73 and clear.
PJC, KF4CHY. Still out there, Jared? KF4CHY, clear.
For RMM mobile monitoring. For RMM mobile, QTH is the intersection of Warren and Millennium Boulevard.
For ULP monitoring.
For ULP, KO4RMM mobile. How's your day going? Very well, sir. How what have you been up to lately, Alexander?
Nothing much. Just lately got electric chainsaw, so me and my brother have been kind of clearing away some of the limbs that we need to take down and stuff like that.
That's work. Is that a new chainsaw or something you've had for a considerable period? time.
Well, we got it pretty recently, and we got, you know, it's electric, so you just plug it into the wall or generator and work off of it like that, and we didn't quite want to get a gas because, they, you know, they have a little bit more power, and for first chainsaw without electric would, you know, get us a good, something to learn on.
To be of sufficient power and energy to, you know, complete or execute the tasks you're presently working on.
I guess power, I mean, it's like runs off of 14 amps and things like 10 pounds.
What kind is it for, as far as make and model?
Sunjo. I think you got that right. Sunjo. Sunjoe, I think. It has like an 18-inch blade, so, you know, I'll cut through fairly good. I mean, watched a few videos on YouTube. One guy had one identical to, and he took down like a whole tree that was, you know, pretty good size with it.
A lot of residential work, that's probably all the power you're going to need.
But, I don't, you know, I still take down a tree, so it still has the power, it still has the, you know, the danger, but we are careful, and, you know, we wear the protective, well, some of the, you know, the safety glasses and the earplugs. The thing is, even for it being electric, I thought it'd be quieter, but it still runs at 85 decibels, and, you know, it still, you know, needs to, you know, you still need to wear earplugs with it and stuff like that.
Comes with the territory to generate, you know, that amount of the necessary power to be a functional or decent chainsaw. It's tough to get around the decibel level unless you have some dedicated component on it for noise dampening, which is probably drive up the price quite considerably, similar to a effect of a suppressor on a firearm.
Yeah, that's. That was a big word, kind of flew over my head, but I think I got the concept.
I think technology generally, when integrated against with mechanical systems, involves dampers and vents and a whole series of them. They're kind of complex, but they're really fascinating if you ever see one deconstructed and look at its core components. It's interesting technology.
Dang, I guess why they didn't bother to put one on the chainsaw, because they probably make it even more heavy and hard to use. But anyway, so yeah, that is interesting. I've been interested in, you know, how things work. I've already torn apart a few things, and you know, just like to just see all of the components inside and stuff like that. But yeah.
Familiar with the history of jet propulsion, but in the genesis of jet propulsion, everything was what's called a turbojet, which takes which were very loud, very powerful, very loud, and they generated a lot of sooty exhaust out the back, and about, I'd say, 35 or 40 years ago, they developed what's called a high bypass turbofan engine, which sends, sucks in, and diverts a lot of the intake directly around the core of the engine to cool and also quiet the engine.
I guess I have to do some more research on jet propulsion. I've never really thought of it much.
Yeah, you know, for the jet propulsion was directed almost principally toward military applications, and all the air was taken in through the intake fan and directly through the core of the engine. It produced a lot of power, like the Pratt & Whitney JT57 turbo jets. They were ran hot. They were, of course, extremely powerful, but not very fuel efficient, and they left, a black soot trail behind them.
You know, kind of glad they fixed that piece. It'd be interesting to see a black trail, you know, following an aircraft, you know. Normally, you just see the white and they dissolve, but the black, wow, that must be a lot of soot being put out.
Old jet enthusiasts harbor a lot of sentiment for the good old turbojets, like the JT8D, which is the civilian version of the Pratt & Whitney J57 turbojets, or on the 707s, the DC-8s, 727s. You just love that thunderous, loud roar and brawl power, when they throttle up for takeoff. It has a very visceral effect, and of course you get to smell that wonderful JP7 jet fuel. So those are the good old days of jet propulsion, in my opinion.
Yeah, I said, this would be an interesting topic to do some more research on, over the summer. I definitely keep that in mind, and because I never remember actually ever seeing those. I don't think I've ever seen those old aircraft, and I don't even, I'm not too really good on knowing the aircraft names, but that'd be something that I probably should look into.
I find this counterintuitive, but the fighter jets and also civilian jets of yesteryear, which were powered by those low bypass turbojets, faster than the jets of today. They were actually faster and more powerful. But 50, 60 years ago, you could, a coast-to-coast flight would run you about 4 hours. Now you're looking at least 5 hours. So when you're looking, you're trying to differentiate among the various systems. You have the original low bypass turbo jets contrasting with today's high bypass turbo fan engines.
Interesting. I cut off your signal, didn't get so great in the repeater, and the middle of what you said I didn't really get, but the beginning and ending I got.
Fascinating science and physics, about jet propulsion technology and how it's changed over the years, and, how few moving parts there are in a jet engine compared to the piston propeller technology of, World War II era.
That's also interesting. I think a jet would have a lot of moving parts to be able to push in and out the air.
Basically just a center shaft, a center shaft on which are placed a number of fan discs, which, serve to suck in the air. You have igniters, which are basically spark plugs. You have a compressor, so it sucks the air in the front, then it compresses the air through various stages of compression into a combustion chamber. And you have fuel sprayers, which spray atomized fuel, and then spark plugs or igniters, which ignite the fuel, and then it's blown out the back in the exhaust.
Yeah, I've never really looked into how those work.
Squeezes, ignites, and blows, and that summarizes the basic parts of jet propulsion. KU4RMM. I'm destinated at my residence. I'll be 73 and clear. Alexander, wishing you a good day. Good to hear from you again, good sir. Always a pleasure. And I am 73 and clear at this time, KU4RMM.
Have a good rest of your day. And this is KU4UOP. And I'll be clear, 73.